Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this lovely autumn day when the fresh wind of the Spirit is blowing. We want the fresh wind of the Spirit, John, didn't we? And I was just sharing with John there about, was it Ray's Didi or Ray's Great Didi for St. Combs, at walking in for St. Combs every Sunday? I mean, you imagine walking in a day like this or in the winter, can? But there was a desire to go to the house of the Lord, which is lovely. So it's great to see you here today. And we thank John Mogdonnell for coming for St. Combs. He didn't walk here today, but he was telling me that he's still running. Now, the last time I ran was when I was 17 years old. I stopped the running after that. But walking's good. So I need to do more walking. More about that later, but welcome, John. Psalm 134 says, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." We're here to praise God, we're here to thank God, we're here to listen to God's word, and we're going to stand and sing our first hymn, "O Lord my God," let's stand and sing. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are great. You're the only God. You're the only wise God and the only Savior. And we thank you for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you for the cross of Calvary. We thank you for redemption. You have purchased us with your blood. And Lord, we're here to praise you today. We're here to praise you for your love, your greatness. We do adore you, Lord, and we're here to praise you this morning in this place. And we would repeat with the hymn writer who says, on behalf of everyone, we need you. Oh, we need you. Every hour we need you. Oh, bless us now, our Saviour, we come to you. And so we thank you that Jesus is here in the power of the Spirit. And we pray your blessing upon John Magdanell, who has willingly come to preach your word this morning. We pray your blessing upon John as he ministers your word today, and give us open hearts to hear what you have to say to us today. We thank you for each one here, Lord. We pray your blessing upon each one. We thank you for Rachel. It's with us this morning. Bless her and Reuben. And we pray for your blessing upon our families, Lord, every one of them. And we pray that they would have, like us, our desire is that Jesus would be exalted in our hearts and lives, and that he would be front and center. We pray for your Spirit to work through us, Lord. We realize that we're not immune from trials, the exact opposite, in fact. We realize that we each have struggles, we each have issues of different kinds, and we lay them at your feet, Lord. We pray that for those who have maybe lost their way a bit, or maybe taken their eyes off you, men, women, and children from various fellowships who may have committed their hearts to you but have maybe gone into a far-off country for a while, we pray you'd bring them back, Lord. There's many of them in all the different meeting places and all places where we gather together to praise your name. And so we pray, just as we would pray for restoration of those who have maybe lost their way and lost their fix on you, Lord, we pray you'd bring them back. That they would say, like the hymn writer, I am not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honour of his word, the glory of his cross. For those, Lord, in different places in our world, Lord, where brothers and sisters in Christ are persecuted for their faith, we pray for them. We thank you for them. We share in their suffering and in their mourning, because as they suffer, we suffer. As they mourn, we mourn. And as they rejoice, we rejoice. Because we know that you are God. You're the beginning and the end. You've already won the victory. And Satan is a defeated foe. But Lord, as time is marching on, as time is running out, we pray in these last days that there would be a great gathering of souls, Lord. There would be revival and renewal and a building up, one another up, and an encouraging one another in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you as we look ahead next week to the baptismal service of Jane Lee and the folks at Bodham. We pray your blessing upon them, and that they would be encouraged, just as we are encouraged of Jane's desire to follow you in obedience to your command. So, Lord, we pray for, again, for John as he preaches a day, and may we listen to your voice, Lord. And we pray for those who are laid aside, those who are infirm, those who are sick. Lord, be with them. And may we, as a fellowship, a small fellowship, love one another. And Lord, that you would go before us for the glory of your name. In every respect, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing a couple of choruses. Fill this place with your glory. We'll sing that once, and then as we are gathered, Jesus is here. Let's stand to sing. And we'll keep our seats this time to sing on the overhead, Christ the Sure and Steady Anchor. Let's keep our seats for this one.
Anchor. final breath, we will cross that great horizon. Clouds behind and life secure, and the calm be the better for the storms that we mourn. Christ is sure of our salvation.
Some announcements for the coming week. Well done to all my unknown the shoebox donations, and to everybody who donated to the shoebox appeal. Thank you very much. The knitting natter is 2 p.m. tomorrow, and the Bible reading and prayer meeting Wednesday night at 7:30 on the upstairs lounge and on Zoom. The fitness and fellowship that, weather permitting, involves an outside walk. Is Thursday night at 6:30, followed by a cup of tea in the hall. I haven't seen anybody running yet at the fitness and fellowship, and I have no intention of running, but the walk's good. I have to congratulate Samuel, by the way, because I've said this before, but Samuel was the first employee of Finlay's Chip Shop to start running to deliver fish and chips to the cars. I was most impressed with Samuel. But Samuel's apparently got promotion now. He's part of the backroom staff. So well done, Samuel, on that. The Sandhaven Boys Brigade, because the community hall's still getting the roof sorted, they're meeting on a Friday night in the back hall here. The Pilates class on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. And as we said last week, advance notice about the baptismal service for Jane Lee from Bodham Evangelical next Sunday night at 6 p.m. And if you can come along and support her, that would be great. And also advance notice of a Sunday night service on the 17th of November, 6 p.m., with a representative from Mission Africa. It's Robbie Toop. So I got in contact, well, it was George West for Bodham, who will be playing the keyboard next week at the baptismal service, who they've got Robbie Toop coming, him and his wife, Margaret, representing Mission Africa. They're going to Bodham on the Sunday morning, the 17th of November, and then they're coming to us on a Sunday night. Now, I did speak to Robbie Toop, and him and his wife's coming up on the Saturday night, the 16th of November, and so they're looking for accommodation on the Saturday night and the Sunday night. So basically, they'll be hopefully biding in the broch here and driving through to Bodham for Sunday morning, Bodham, and they'll get their lunch through there, and then they'll be back in the broch for the evening meeting. Now, if you're able to give accommodation, not necessarily meals, but accommodation to Robbie and Margaret, just like McCain, that would be appreciated. The next week, God willing, the speaker is Keith Hay from Bucky, and he's actually with us for the next 2 weeks. There'll be communion next Sunday morning. But there's tea following the service this morning, so please do stay behind if you can for tea and fellowship. And again, we welcome John Mogdenale in the name of the Lord and pray God's blessing upon John. So John's going to come up after this hymn and give us the Bible reading and the sermon. But we're going to stand and sing Jesus My King. Let's stand and sing.
will be finished.
No, it doesn't. Well, good morning, folks, and thanks very much for the invitation to come and share with you. I just asked Norman, the time you finish, is it 12? And he says, aye, but just dangerous for me. I'm a bit like, again, once the horse has been taken off a cart, I just take off. But no, it is. It's always good to be invited to come to a fellowship, but it's even better to be invited back. And I think you're gluttons for punishment because Norman's actually invited me twice next year, all being well, and should the Lord tarry. But hey, it's good to see smiling faces. In a song saying, "My heart is filled with praises to Thee." Wow. Is our hearts filled with praise this morning, I wonder? And it's one of those things where hearts should be filled with praise, but then again, it should be being emptied continually with praise. As the Lord pours His blessing upon us, we should be praising Him all the time. And I often say I should be the preacher with a wooden spoon because I'm a bit of a stirrer. In a good sense. Because there's so many good, godly folk filled with gifts and abilities that are lying dormant. And sometimes we just need to be stirred up. So if you feel stirred up this morning, that's good. I've done my job. Amen. I've just a few scattered thoughts, as I normally have. And I had plenty of warning for Norman. And I'll be quite honest, folks, I've become very lazy when it's come to preparing for a message. And that's honest. And I dare say it's part of my testimony because I have to rely more and more on the Lord by His Spirit to give me something. And it wasn't until last week, I was at a morning service. And usually the musicians come in and they set up and they practice, get other instruments warmed up. Because if you're a musician at all, you can. If you've got a guitar, you can. It can be a bit out of tune. You can, depends on the temperature, nothing like this. But when I come in, I saw other instruments lined up. All tuned up, ready to be used. And the Lord just dropped a seed in my heart to speak on instruments. And you often read through scripture, you can speak about instruments, but also means you can vessels or tools. And you and I are instruments. Just as an instrument needs somebody to pick it up and play it. Well, now we have a piano, obviously, and they got to pick it up. But it needs somebody to be prepared to play it. And God is looking for the instruments and fellowships in the length and breadth of our land, in fact, worldwide, that are willing to be used. I am not a preacher by any means. I have two qualifications that are needed. Willingness and ability. I try to have a bit of knowledge of the scriptures, have a bit of experience with preaching, but either not, that's what I have. The portion of scripture this morning I'd like to share on, and it's really one verse, but in Acts chapter 9, and you ken the story very, very well, about Saul. And Saul is on a tangent. He's on a mission. He's persecuting the church, and boy, he's good at it. And all through the chapter, it says about Paul on his way to cause more havoc in the church, and suddenly he has an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And I trust that every one of us this morning has had that encounter with the Lord Jesus. Because from encounter him, there's a change. Saul was blinded when he encountered Jesus. And then it says he heard the voice of the Lord. He had instructions where to go, what to do. And then the other side of coin, at the same time in Damascus, there was this disciple named Ananias. And it says it how he, in a vision, had heard the Lord speaking to him. And the Lord had instructed him to gang and minister to this man's soul, this persecutor of the church. And you can imagine what Ananias was thinking. Yeah. Aye, Lord, I'll help the sick as much as I can. I'll feed the hungry, but you're throwing me into the lion's den here. And you can sometimes we're asked to do things that's scary. But the Lord was with him. And in a conversation to Ananias, the Lord said, "Get up, go to the street called Straight, and ask at the house of Judas for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying." Wow, transformation. Persecuting the church, now he's praying. Great. "And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias enter and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard many people tell about this man, especially how much evil and what great suffering he's brought on your saints at Jerusalem. Now he is here, and he's got authority for the high priest to put in chains all who call upon your name.'" And this is a verse. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the descendants of Israel.'" Amen. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you, by your Spirit, would talk this few scattered thoughts, Lord, that like the bread and the fishes, Lord, you would bless it, you would multiply it, Lord, that each one of us would go out here satisfied and hearing for yourself, Lord. Lord, hide me behind the cross this morning, Lord. I just want to be a vessel, Lord, an empty vessel that you would fill to overflowing. In your name we ask. Amen. A chosen instrument, it says of Saul, to bear the name of the Lord. How about you and me this morning? Do we feel chosen? Well, gone by some of the expressions, I'm not quite sure. Well, whether you did or no, the word says you are chosen. You're not chosen, you're beloved. And the things that God has chosen, he will bless and he will provide. Every time. See, Saul here, he was in a mission. He was in a purpose. He had a plan and an agenda. He had set out to accomplish and to fulfill his task. We do this every day, do we? For those that are still working, you have an agenda. You have a list of jobs that you have to do every day. For those of you that have done your bit and you are enjoying the benefits of retirement, you've still got an agenda. You plan your day. And this was Saul. He had his day planned. Boy, he was going to show the Christians if I was really in charge. But there was an interruption. And how often have you and I had interruptions in our plans? And it's our suddenly doom and gloom. Oh, well, I've prepared this and I've prepared that and no luck. And as visitors come and oh, I'm not going to get... There's always a purpose behind an interruption. And God is good at interrupting our plans. But it's in order that our plans could be replaced by his plans. And what we see in this portion of scripture here is the Lord spoke to Saul, he listened, and he obeyed. The Lord spoke to Ananias. Ananias listened and obeyed. And I just wonder, is the Lord speaking to you about something this morning? Has he spoken into a situation that you need to listen to and they need to obey? You and I this morning are called to be instruments of God. Wow. You see, we can, as they would say in America, a resume. We could hear a list of the things with qualifications and nothing else. And that doesn't really matter. Like I said this morning, I didn't have much to offer, apart from myself. But God can use every instrument that is made available. Instruments differ, and so do we. And I was looking at different instruments, you can as a percussion, the woodwind, the string, the bass, the brass, and the keyboard. But they all need a person to apply their skills to them. Keyboard, or organ, or piano, I'm not sure if it's an organ or a piano. But unless somebody applies their skills to it, and in this case, unless somebody switches on the power, it's an ornament. Every individual instrument marks different sounds. You and I, and we hear it as we're singing. Some are way up here, some are way down here, and some are a bit off key, and it doesn't matter. Because the scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, if I'm singing, to me it's a joyful noise, to others it's just a noise. But that's beside the point. We are different. We have different skills, and God has planted you, not by chance, in here, in this fellowship, this morning. But God has a purpose and a plan. Not just for a day, but every day. As long as we make ourselves available. And it's like we've all listened to a good piece of music for, there's all the different instruments, but they're being laid and they're in unity. And it brings a melodic sound that lifts up our spirits. As I say, instruments require somebody to apply themselves to produce the music. And listening to Norman's prayer this morning, I thought, I've nothing to say. Norman said it all. We as the Lord's instruments have the Holy Spirit empowering us. He enables us to do what we were chosen for. And it's surprising even today that there's still a bit of reservation is regarding the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And some think, oh, but the Spirit, it's all about prophecy, it's all about speaking in strange languages. No. Tuck it right down to the nitty-gritty. The Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit is just so that we can live godly lives, so that we can be in tune with Him, so that we can be part of His plan and purpose. Again, the best and the most expensive, beautiful instrument is just a useless ornament, unless it's played. When God saved you and me, did He put us in a glass case for all to admire? No, He filled us with Spirit so that we could be effective instruments for His glory. And Paul, this soul, because there's been a change. Paul this time in chapter 19 asks the Ephesians this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? And if our son here had not received the Holy Spirit, we're missing out. We're missing out. He is the power behind our testimony. He's the one that gives us strength to walk from day to day. If we're in a, we are, as 1 Corinthians tells us, that we're like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Again, the emptiest vessels make the most noise. And we're encouraged, be ye being filled with the Spirit. It's nay, I have been filled with the Spirit. But it's the essence of the Spirit is supposed to be flowing through us. The gifts of the Spirit are supposed to be ministered to others through us. The goodness of God is overflowing in our lives simply because of the infilling of the Spirit. And we have to ask ourselves this morning, am I just an empty vessel? Am I an unavailable instrument? Or are we filled with God's presence, ready to be used? I just want to touch on three kinds of instruments I believe that Scripture says we ought to be. Can anybody remember when I was here last time that I spoke on? See? I should have said that at the beginning. I'll say, okay, I'll just read you the same thing. No. I used to be in the habit of marking a note if it was shared at certain places, and I used to keep on my field of my law, because there's the tendency to sort of recycle an old message, and that's not what the Lord says. He says, I'll give you fresh manna. Again, three instruments, and I'm sure you'll mind this, because they'll begin with the same letter. We have to be instruments of worship. Second is a bit different. Instruments of war and instruments of witness. Worship. What is worship all about? And sometimes there's a misconception. Oh, worship and praises are the same. No, it's not. Worship is, and we heard this already in Norman's prayer, it's adoring God for who he is. The praise comes in when we think of what God does for us. But the worship is adoring God for who he is. We've had a revelation, a partial, but a revelation of who God is. His character. His word says that he is love, that he is light, that he's holy, that he's eternal, he's faithful, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. He's protecting and providing all these things. I could go on and on and on, but this thing has gone too fast for me, Norman. Can you pull the batteries out? So we have had a partial revelation of who God is, but it's enough, is it? It's enough for us to follow him, to worship him for who he is, to praise him for his goodness towards us, to praise him for his patience and his kindness, to thank him for his salvation, aye, and for his healing, physical and spiritual. And again, there's another question. I did say I was here to stir up things. And that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Is our daily worship, not on a Sunday morning, is our daily worship pleasing to the Lord? Is our daily worship pleasing to the Lord? I can only answer that for myself. At times, the question would be, aye, when I'm in fire for God, which is near that often. But I'd rather be in fire than lukewarm, because I can't fit it is with the lukewarm. But sometimes, as Norman says, life can be hard, and we struggle at times. Often my share of struggling, dry wilderness experience as well. And I often ask myself that same question. Is my worship really pleasing to the Lord? Do we, as the hymn writer says, cheer the heart of God? Is our worship and our adoration of Him, is that sweet smell and aroma constantly arising to Him? Not just on a Sunday morning, but in the workplace, in the home, when we're out in the garden, when we're doing the shopping. Is there something about us that attracts others to the Lord? Again, it's a bit, and I think I've mentioned this before, it's a bit like that Ready Break, the advertisement, when you ate the Ready Break, there was a glow round about you. Again, is there something that the world sees in you and me that challenges them, that draws them to the Lord? Or are we simply going through the motions? Now, I have to be honest and say, yeah, I've just been going through the motions. I've been running in reserve, as they would say, at times. But then there's other times when we get a fresh revelation, or the Lord blesses us, or answers a prayer, or meets a need, and then our heart is just stirred up again. My experiences could be summed up in this hymn again. It says, all my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. But Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Because we're instruments, live instruments. At this moment in the time, I have an electric guitar. I have an acoustic guitar. I have two keyboards. I have a six-string banjo, I have two ukuleles, I have an omnicord, I have two penny whistles, a flute and a harmonica, and I've got a use of my son's bass guitar. They're all available to me, they're all waiting to be used. But when was the last time I picked up one of them? By the way, I'm not a great player to any of those things. I can play on a tune and a keyboard with one hand, fit to do with a son, I have no idea. But I used to strum the guitar and... But I've got now these instruments, but they're ornaments because they're not being used. They're not being used for the function that they were created for. And the question goes to you and me. Are we doing what the Lord created us to do? Are we being used for the purpose that we were created? Are we willing to put ourselves, I wonder, into God's hands? Are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to use us? Are we willing to be instruments of worship? Instruments of blessing. That we would bless God, that we would in turn bless others. Instruments of worship. That's what we are called to be. Instruments of war. Well, turn on the TV, listen to radio, read the paper, it's chaos. And yet we are called to be instruments of war. Am I speaking about enlisting in the army or joining? No, I'm not. Ephesians 6 tells us, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not physical. It's a spiritual battle that you and I have been called to. We are to be instruments of war. How do we fight the battle? We have a common enemy. He wants to destroy a church. He wants to destroy families. He wants to destroy you and my testimony. He's quite happy for us to sit back and go through the motions. He's quite happy for us not to bother praying, not to bother worshipping, hey, not even bother to turn up for meetings. He's happy with that. But we have been called to be God's instruments. And He's given us instruments of protection, the armor of God. And I'm not going into the armor of God, we can this piece of scripture so well. But he says, above all this protection that God has given us, he tells us, pray. When we feel like it. No. Pray when the going's getting tough. No. He says, pray at all times. My Bible says, on every occasion, in every season, pray. We are called to be instruments of prayer, instruments of spiritual warfare. See, the gifts that God has given you and me, Scripture says, are mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. We're worship, we're praise, we're prayers. It's all in the battle against the enemy. We are to pray in the Spirit with all manner of prayer. As I said, nages on a Sunday morning, nages when things are getting tough, but pray continually. It says we are to keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. I wonder, are you persevering in a trial at the moment? I always go back to the gospel music convention in Gitane. Keep praying till the answer comes. Keep praying till the answer comes. How's your prayer life this morning? Are you waiting for a loved one to be saved? There's a family member that needs that healing touch. Keep on praying. This is Scripture says, God is faithful. He doesn't always answer our prayers the way we expect Him to, but He always answers. So we are in spiritual warfare this morning. You being here this morning puts a dent in Satan's plans for this fellowship, for this community, for you as an individual and a family member. But then we are to be instruments of witness. Wow. Instruments of witness. And I have to say this, and I'm not going to embarrass somebody, but there was somebody sharing just last week about a certain gentleman for this fellowship and how much plaques he has made with the Lord's name. And I've been into several places for simply says Jesus, and questions have been raised. That is a witness. That is a man and his instruments, his hands, his abilities and skills to be a witness. You think, can some bits of wood be a witness? Absolutely. If we are saved, if we have accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, then we have a testimony. This is something the enemy cannot argue against. Oh, he can point out to our weak prayer life. He could point out to our failings and our faults. But he can't say anything against our testimony. Can I say anything against our testimony? Does it say, I think it's in Revelation, and they overcame him, the enemy, by his word and by the power of their testimony. Do you realize how powerful your testimony is against the enemy? Do you realize how powerful your testimony is at bringing others, as Norman was praying this morning, into the kingdom? You've got a story to tell. You've got a life story, you've got an experience to share that the enemy can't argue against. You're living witnesses. As long as we breathe, we're living witnesses of the power of God to change and to transform lives. Now, I don't think there's been any murderers here or thieves or drunkards or addicts. It might have been that again. But there was a day when we realized that we were sinners in need of a Savior. And we didn't sit back and allow things to happen. We did something about it. We said the most simplest of prayers. And this is why I went to encourage you in prayer. It was the simplest of prayers, a few stammering words maybe, but it transformed our lives. It took us from the kingdom of darkness into the glorious kingdom of light. And not only that, the things, like Paul says, the things that he used to long for, counts as rubbish, that he may follow and serve and worship the Lord. We were in spiritual darkness. We hearts that were hardened to the gospel. No thought of God whatsoever. But like Saul, we had an experience. We had that moment. We had that encounter with Jesus. And suddenly there was a change of purpose. In fact, there was a change of ownership in our lives. And there was a desire for God and for others. We were no longer living to self, but we're living for God. Like Paul, the Lord is declaring to you and to me, you are, now listen, you are a chosen instrument. A chosen instrument of His, to bear His name. Wow. It comes with a lot of responsibility, but it comes with a lot of blessing. A lot of blessing. Chosen instruments, never forget. If you, and I'll test you in this when I come back next year, all being well. If you remember that you are a chosen instrument. You can minister in a situation that nobody else in this whole wide world can, because you are unique. God chose you and me because of our uniqueness. And as long as we are willing and available, He will use us. Are we instruments that are available this morning? Are we ready? And are we willing to be used by the Master to bring glory and honor to His name? Instruments of worship, instruments of war, and instruments of witness. Tuck and mark the best of every opportunity. You could be the person that has the words to save a soul for a lost eternity. Keep on praying. Amen. Never forget that you are chosen vessels. Well, we've got to bring the service this morning to close. Norman's dealt me that it's Amazing Grace we'll be singing. And just to remind you, there is tea provided. And I'm off. Sorry, I'll make my apologies, Norman, but my wife has already booked dinner for us. We're eating out. It's just because she got a gift voucher. I've never got to say it was me splashing out. But yeah, just in the week ahead, think of ways that you can make a difference to our life. Might be making a simple wooden plaque. It might be just helping somebody with a shopping. There's countless numbers of ways that God can use you as instruments of His blessing. But just be willing and available. We'll rise and sing Amazing Grace. Amen. Oh, Father, we just thank you for this. Well, there's only one. Why do you describe grace? I mean, it's amazing. Father, realizing we deserve nothing but punishment, and yet you love us, your grace and your love and your blessing upon us daily, Lord. It's like Norman said, moment by moment, Lord, not only are we kept in your love, but as we're kept, Lord, you meet our every need. And Father, we thank you again, Lord. You reminded me first and foremost, Lord, that we ought to be instruments in the hands of the Master. Lord, we are to be your hands, your feet, your mouthpiece. Lord, yours is the voice that maybe only one person will hear. Lord, let us be always willing, available, and ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. And Father, help us, Lord, even to gossip the gospel, Lord, to tell others about the good news. Lord, as long as we have the time and the doors, and grace is still open. Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you for this wonderful songs, Lord, we've been able to sing. But they're not just songs, Lord, they're experiences. And Father, we pray for each head bowed, each family represented. Lord, you ken the needs. And Father, we have this assurance that every need can be met in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you're a faithful God. You're so unchanging. That you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you declared, I, the Lord, change not. Father, will you continue to use us? Continue to bless us, Lord. And Father, continue to open up our understanding that we may continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and put that knowledge to good use. Father, we would just thank you for your hand upon our life. And Lord, as we part one for the other, Lord, bless us, bless our families, and bless this fellowship. We ask it in your name. Amen.